So good morning, my name is Dan Schwartzman, and for 33 years I taught a class called Public Health and Social Ethics at the University of Illinois at Chicago School of Public Health. Taught it twice a year to somewhere between 20 and 30 students, so you're looking at a lot of people have heard me talk about ethics. I'm also the chair-elect of the ethics section, and tomorrow will fully put both of my hands on the power of the chair. I've been waiting. I would like to invite all of you who are interested to our session today at 12:30, which is an open meeting for everybody in APHA about the project that we're beginning to revisit the ethics code of APHA and try and move forward with what we like about it and come up with additions and revisions for things that we think it could use some work on. It's going to be a multi-year project, but today is our first stop at asking people to come and start interacting with us on this project. And then also our business meeting, as Stephanie suggested, is tomorrow evening at 6:30. So what did I do? By the way, I'm now at Loyola University here in Chicago. So what did I do? I wanted to figure out what a course in public health ethics would involve, because I was really teaching just one slice of public health ethics, which is the social ethics, the ethics of public health policy making. And one of the projects we're going to be working on this coming year in the ethics section is a program to figure out the role of ethics in schools and programs of public health, the accredited schools and programs of public health, because as Dr. Zweig said, it's not required every place. And the new guidelines from the Council on Education and Public Health had suggested it ought to be. And then the question becomes, well, then what does that mean? What does the course look like? So I thought, well, I'll look at the textbooks. By the way, I'm sorry, I have no financial interest. Nor have I been given any support for this. That's an understatement. So I started out trying to figure out why we want to study public health ethics in the first place. And I think it comes down to both understanding our own emotions to help us make choices in the community, because these values or principles are always going to be in conflict. To teach people how to be capital G good professionals and to run good organizations, and from my standpoint, this is the thing I most resonate with, to be able to make a moral case for how we as a community should see ourselves as a good society. So I'm just curious. This is my way of sort of grounding what I'm going to be talking about. So I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I do not have IRB approval for this survey. These are five things that we might believe we have a moral obligation towards. And I'm just going to ask for a show of hands in each one. To protect vulnerable populations and future generations from climate change. Is that a moral obligation? Raise your hand if most of us think so. To raise up a third of the world's women who suffer from indignity and disrespect. Raise your hand if you think that's true.
Although I think we should do it for all.
Okay, well, I didn't say where that third is, To fight the tobacco companies as they seek to create addiction around the world. Less so on that, that's interesting. to reject international trade agreements that don't protect the environment at home and abroad. Again, a moral obligation, if you think so. Also less. Provide health care as a birthright to every child born. That's almost unanimous. So I'm going to judge the textbooks that I read to educate these five things. Do they help me to make the case and to understand the moral obligation that you all just expressed? Not everybody, but many of you. So I decided to figure out what exactly, you know, to try and put my arms around this whole field of public health ethics, and to figure out what I would put into a public health ethics course if I was to teach a complete course, not just the slice that I've been teaching, to see where we agree and where we disagree, to figure out what isn't in the literature, and to find a moral argument on behalf of what I have been referring recently as transitive morality, and I'll come back to that in a moment. So I looked at 9 books and decided to throw 4 of them out, not because they weren't good books, but they really didn't fit what I was getting after. So these are the 5 books I looked at. Many of you have seen these books. These are many of the standard books that are used in classes around the country. You know, what often is referred to as Sen's book, the Baird, Gossin, and Bruce Jennings, who's right here in the front of the room, and Bonnie Steinbach. The Jones and Bartlett Essentials book, a book by Steve Holland. I looked, by the way, at his first edition. His second edition is now out. It came out after I read his first edition, and I did not have the heart to go back and reread it. I'm told it's even better. And the really stimulating but very thick book by Powers and Faden. So I had a set of a priori questions. I'm just going to flash these up really quickly. I'm happy to share my slides. I'm going to write this all up also, but I'm happy to share my slides with any of you who give me your card. Did they have a definition of public health ethics? Did they agree with me that there are 4 domains in this field? Research ethics, professional ethics, organizational ethics, and social ethics. Do they provide a bit of a background on moral philosophy? Do they recommend a specific moral philosophy or some kind of unifying theory? Do they provide case studies? If they do use case studies, how are they using them? Are they using them as here's a case study that instructs a value or a principle that I've been talking about? Or are they really just saying, here's a case study and this is the ethics of blank, which doesn't necessarily move a central argument forward? Do they have a recommendation on specific ethical decision making by different actors? Do they offer an approach to defending ethical decisions, which I think is a really practical thing that we keep forgetting to offer? Again, my issue of transitive morality, which I'll explain in a second, did they provide me a basis for this argument I'm making on behalf of this new a way of looking at this? Did they talk about ethics versus law or economics or political science or sociology or anthropology? Did they try and put ethics into context of other ways of talking about how to be a good society? What were the learning objectives that I would put together for a class that this was the textbook for? What was missing, and then anything else that I thought of along the way? So here's what I found out. Each class that would be taught from each of these books would not look anything like the other 4 classes. You could not teach the same public health ethics class from each of these 5 books. They are each of them sui generis. So one of them is an argument on behalf of equity in public health and healthcare programs and policies. This is the SEN book. The other is, a second is a pretty thorough review of large variety of intellectual arguments, both the pro and con of those arguments for public health programs and policies. This is the Bayer, Goskins, and Jennings book. A public philosophy that seeks a balance among the interests of the individual, the state, and social institutions. An application of utilitarianism, that's the Holland book. I think, I'm guessing that that's the least known about in the field. It's a wonderfully written book, completely accessible, and it's a explanation of how we would support public health programs through utilitarianism, which I happen to think is exactly the wrong view, but I am fascinated and charmed by Professor Holland's presentation of it. And then the Faith and Power book, which is a very thoughtfully, closely reasoned analysis of social justice and how it applies to public health. So the Senbeth Anand book is kind of limited in scope. It does very much focus on the issue of equity. It's, I think, out of date, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but when it was written, people weren't really talking enough about health equity. Now that's become a more of a commonplace. And they were making the case that equity matters in matters of health. And I can see using pieces of it as in a public health course. The Bayer book is probably the one that I would pick if you made me pick one of these five books, because I can see teaching a lot of different ideas and some conflicting and some supportive with each other. They don't take one stand on one unifying principle, and I find that unsatisfying, but I completely understand it, given the complexity of the field. They use their case studies, and there are many in the book, each to illustrate a point that they're making, so it's a really well-educated book. I have to say this because one of the editors is sitting right here. And notice I did the slides before I knew Bruce was going to be here. And I think this is the book that would make my students think the most. And that is my job as an educator, is to make them think. The Burnham book is part of Jones and Bartlett's Essentials series. It calls its approach presumptivist, and so it presumes individual liberty and then says a particular program in public health ought to be judged by whether or not it overcomes that presumption. I'm not fond of that approach, but it is a really well laid out view of that approach. Lots of case studies, not quite as good at using the case studies to bring a central point forward, but a lot of very practical case studies. So I said the Holland book is utilitarianism as applied to public health, since I think that utilitarianism is the dominant ideology of our society. And something that I fight against a lot. If you like, I'll happily send you my slide deck on my presentation called The Cost-Benefit Analysis of Having Children. It turns out to be a terrible investment strategy. But it also turns out to be one of the most important things you ever did. Again, it's a really wonderfully written book, and is very much focused on a teleological approach. It's consequentialism as applied to public health. I would never use the Powers and Fate book as a textbook for graduate students in public health because they would never read it. They would read the first two paragraphs and go, I don't understand any of this. It's a really hard read, and I can't imagine that my students would ever get through it. It's really worth reading because they are talking about an exquisitely performed analysis of what they mean by social justice, which is a phrase that we all use and very seldom define. But I have to tell you, I've been teaching for 37 years now. There's just no class I've ever had that would read this book. So, how did we do on our five opening positions? This is a restatement of this. None of these books helped me make the moral case here. And it's because I'm coming from a position of what I'm referring to as transitive morality. The textbooks in the field and most of the articles written in our field talk about how we as individuals might care or act or justify our actions, but they do very little to talk about what you must do, what you ought to do as a member of a community. And so none of these books, and in fact not much of the literature in this field that I've found, gives me the moral reasoning to justify the moral positions that you all took when we started this discussion. I think that what we're dealing with is something called the urge to care for the other. That's what I think is the central ethic of public health. And we have to ask, where does this moral imperative come from? We all believe in the right to health care. Where do rights come from? And it's a question that we're not asking seriously, and I think we need to, because we're a group of people who make these transitive moral judgments all the time. We are telling the larger society what it ought to do. And turns out we're relatively comfortable doing it. You shot up your hands. How do we make those moral prescriptions to the larger society? So I'm still in search of that unifying principle, and I'm hoping that you can help me with that. Thank you.